Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome.
To Off Script,
a podcast
where we compare books to its movie.
I'm Bree.
I'm Allie. Oh.
I wasn't ready. Okay.
I can tell. Where we compare books to its movie.
And the high.
Yeah. Today we're doing Defending Jacob.
Well, finally.
I know.
This is another one that's been on my list for forever for us.
Oh my gosh, it was so good.
Mm-hmm.
We have Alan to thank for that.
Mm-hmm. Alan, you always pick the good ones.
I know. I was excited when I saw that Alan picked this one because Outsiders is like my favorite Stephen King book now.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, it's gonna be good. I'm excited. Good choice.
Good
Alan,
job,
pick
Alan.
Another. He has to pick a book a season. Tell him he has to do that.
I'm having dinner with him on Wednesday. I'll let him
okay.
know.
Tell him I told him. I was like, you gotta pick a book a season.
Okay.
I've loved all of them so far.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh, we definitely have trigger warnings. Anyways.
Oh, wait. I have to paint you a picture.
Yes, you do.
Holy fuck. How did I just forget?
Bree, like, looking around to see if she can remember.
I know. Well, something here triggered me.
As I literally, like, not even 5 minutes ago, knew a picture that I was going to paint for us.
And it has slipped my mind. What the fuck was it?
Thankfully, we had recorded our kind of conversation, so I just had to go back and listen to it and remember.
Okay, so John is fully aware of our stress and how we took a break and everything. And so he's been like trying to like come up with ideas for us. And so I told him about tonight because he was like, you and Allie are hanging out tonight, right? And I was like, yeah, we're recording for Off Script. We've got 3 episodes to record. And like we continued talking, and then he was like, do you think that's a good idea to record 3 episodes in one night? Won't that be too much for you guys?
He's so sweet.
I was like, nah, we kind of work the opposite way where we don't want to be recording 1 episode a week. We want to pound out like 5 of them in a row and then call it good.
Like it works.
I do too. I told him, I was like, it makes me feel very productive. It makes mm-hmm. me feel good about things.
Yeah.
And then like, then I'm not stressing mm-hmm. about editing within the week.
Yeah.
Which is even better.
The 1 a week worked really well when we were a couple months ahead.
Yes. That's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But when we're right on top of it, no.
Yeah. It also worked when you lived down the street from me. And now
yeah.
driving
yeah.
over here.
Mm-hmm.
For one episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Nah.
No.
I'll do 3. Okie dokie. All right. Good picture.
Thank you.
That was worth our trouble.
I know, right? I was so mad. I cannot believe I forgot. I was like, what the fuck? How?
Oh my gosh. All right. So we do got a trigger warning for y'all. It's a murder case. So there's murder.
Yet Allie has no trigger warning.
I know. When I saw that, I was like, that's not right. There is murder.
Allie's like, this is fine. It's a good one. You won't be bothered by it.
You won't be bothered by the 14-year-old that was murdered.
Yeah, nah, you're fine.
Okay, so our synopsis is a father whose 14-year-old son is accused of murdering a classmate.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. We have author William Landry.
Landy. Landy.
Landy.
I don't know.
Landy. Okay. Mm. Yeah. Director Morten
Tildum.
Mark Bomback is the screenplay writer, and audiobook reader is Grover Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. Let's see.
This was the one where you told me that you thought I was going to have a hard time with it.
I didn't like him at first, but finally by like end of middle, late middle of the book, I was like, all right, he's fine. But he was really hard for me to get going with.
Because I knew the story.
Yeah.
He was fine. And I was more, I was excited to read it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, ooh, tell me, read it to me. So
okay.
I didn't have as hard of a time.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Good, good, good. The book came out in January 2021.
Nope.
No. 2012. Did you see me hesitate? Because I was like, I'm about to say it wrong.
I'm like, why did I just say 2000?
Then I was like, no, that was right. Nope. Switch those numbers. 2021. Oh my gosh. Ugh. 2012, people. Come on. Movie or show, April 24th, 2020. That's like coming up on a little anniversary.
Oh, wow. That's weird. Yeah. Cool.
That's 8 years different.
Yeah.
Okay. What'd you do first?
I watched it first.
I read it first.
Yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm.
You paused there.
I almost said watched it. I was like, no, I watched this one first.
You just said.
I know. I was saying. That's what I almost said.
Oh, my gosh.
What are your thoughts?
You know me. I love true crime.
Yeah, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Chris Evans. How can you go wrong?
Hell yeah. I know.
Man. I told my mom, though, when I was reading it, I was like, Mom, I think you're going to like this show.
You know what makes me mad? I didn't watch the show with John because I didn't think he would be into it.
Yeah.
And then I got onto
you didn't
the.
You think he'd think like a Chris Evans show?
He doesn't like murder.
Oh, but.
But he watched your number two with me, so I should have known.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to be like, hey, let's watch this.
Yeah.
And then him not be into it. Especially since he tends to like whenever it's a. I haven't told you about watching Mickey 17 with him.
Oh, you have not.
God, that's the next picture.
Write it down.
But essentially, whenever it's got one of my movie crushes in it.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to watch it. I'm like, sorry, dude. He's just too good looking.
Dude, no joke. I was like, you crazy in this movie, but it's okay.
Yeah. 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 But then I was on like episode 3 or 4 and he came over. And so it was in my TV's like recently watched or continue watching. And he was like, oh, what's that? I was like, oh, that's what we're doing for Off Script. It's like, and I explained the premise to him because it's very much like a different book that I want us to cover.
Oh, okay.
And he was like, oh, that sounds good. And I was like, are you kidding me?
We would have watched it together.
Yeah. So then he was over the other night and we were trying to figure out something to watch. And he was like, maybe we should do Defending Jacob. I was like, I would watch it again. Like, I just finished it, but sure.
Yeah.
And for a third time.
All right. And
he was like, oh, you just, no, I won't do that to you. I was like, I'll watch it with you. But then we ended, oh my God. We started The Studio, which is an Apple TV show.
Okay.
And it's about a Hollywood producer in Hollywood. And it's literally just a satire on Hollywood. And it is my favorite show at the moment. It's got Seth Rogen in it. He's the producer.
Okay.
And it's hilarious to watch, especially with John, because John's like, that's not how the industry is, though. And I was like, that's 100% how the industry is, John. He's like, what? No, they would never do that. And like one of them was like, he had his assistant and he gets promoted and he turns to her before he gets promoted. And he's like, if I get this promotion, I'm going to make you the creative executive assistant. And she's like, oh, I thought you were just saying that so I wouldn't lose my job. He's like, yes, but I mean it. So that was one of the times when John was like, that doesn't happen. I was like, John, 100%. And he was like, this is the industry you want to work in.
I know. So mean.
Yes, John.
That's so funny. All right. Why'd we pick it? Alan. Thanks, Alan.
Yeah. Yeah. Good pick, Alan.
And you said you picked it this time because it was his birthday?
Yeah. So it was supposed to come out March 10th, which is literally the day after his birthday.
Sorry, Alan.
Yeah. So then March 11th, I get a text from him.
Where's my episode?
Yeah. He's like, I thought Defending Jacob was coming out. In a month.
Stay tuned. All right. So something I've noticed, which is odd to me, mm-hmm. TV shows don't have a lot of fun facts. You would think they'd have more.
That's super weird.
Because it's longer.
Yeah.
Nope. There was like six.
Wow.
And so I gave you your five, but sorry, they suck. Chris Evans and Jaden Martell play father son in this project. They've previously appeared together in Playing It Cool and playing the same characters at different ages in Knives Out. Playing the same character at different ages.
They were in Playing It Cool. They were the same character, just different ages. And then in Knives Out, they play cousins.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's funny.
Yeah. I forgot he was in Knives Out.
The kid did too. I just remember him from It.
Yes. I do. Mm-hmm. I recognized him mm-hmm. and I had to look him up. And that's what I remembered him from.
Mm-hmm.
Leading man Chris Evans and original author William Landy both are from Boston. Mm-hmm. Landy having served as assistant.
Oh, I'm a fucking idiot.
What?
John would have watched this with me.
Oh, because they're in Boston?
Yeah, this is one of his loves because he's from Boston.
So anytime anything has to do with Boston?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Landy was served as a DA in Massachusetts before becoming a writer. Evans is a DA in Newton. City in which the novel takes place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. J.K. Simmons also plays Billy Barber, a convicted murderer in the HBO series Oz. He also plays a violent inmate.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. These are your fun facts.
What's hilarious is the last time John and I were at Nee and Ty's,
mm-hmm.
Oz is one of Ty's favorite TV shows. Really? So we watched some of that with him.
That's funny. I like that. This one is in there. Or is it right here? No, it's not. That they play in Red One together.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was fun.
That's hilarious. I forgot about that.
Yeah. J.K. Simmons plays Chris Evans' father, and they're all superheroes related.
Mm-hmm.
So here you go. Yep. I've got it broken down for you. Cameo as J. Jonah Jameson in Spider-Man.
That's J.K. Simmons.
Yep, J.K. Simmons. Evans is Captain America. Duh.
Yeah.
They've also played in other comic book movies. Evans is Johnny Storm in Fantastic Four. And Simmons is Chief Gordon in Justice League.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I know.
Oh, he would be a good Chief Gordon.
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, and last one. Betty Gabriel, Chris Evans, and Michelle Dockery were all born in 1981.
Okay, so the mom, dad, and cop.
Yep.
Cool.
Which makes sense. They all kind of look the same.
Mm-hmm. They all look the same.
Like age-wise.
Spit an image of each other. 100%.
They were cloned. All right. Okay, we got some chit-chatting to do.
Some comparisons for you.
Let's do it. All right. Let's go. So you guys. Oh, no, I did it again. Chair's going to fall out on me. This one's like, I'm going to try my best. It's confusing because it jumps back and forth a lot. And then first time, well, you didn't because you didn't read it first. First time reading it, did you think that it was the court case for, you didn't because you read it.
Watching it, yes.
Oh, watching it, you did.
Yes, I did not realize.
It's a different court case.
Andy was being interviewed or was, you know, testifying.
Yeah.
For a different court case, which I actually.
Bree's trying to kill me with her chairs.
Keep getting interrupted. So, yes, I was also tricked and what? Thought that he was on Jacob's trial.
Okay.
I thought he was a defendant. trying to defend his kid. But then this time I got to really appreciate it because not only had I already seen the TV show and knew what was coming, but I also knew the book. Uh-huh. And there's things that got said by him on the trial that were said like to himself, or like, I also really liked that this book was written as if Andy was the one writing it.
Yes.
Yep. And so like things like that got said in this trial. And so it was a creative way to do the inner monologue without doing inner monologue.
Yeah.
And I really liked that.
Yeah. I thought it was good.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings me, yeah, to the point where I'm going to try to not be confusing without giving things away.
My first note.
Oh, you start off.
I'm going to start off because this is an easy note. Andy is supposed to be 51. No way in hell does Chris Evans look 51. I'm like, maybe you're in your 40s, but not 51.
Nope. And if you are, fine wine.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So we're kicking off, and Andy used to be a lawyer, but now he's on trial, and the guy he trained,
how do you say it? LeJudas.
Okay. Is the one that's interrogating him. And he's pissed off about that, but it is what it is. And there was this murder that happened 12 months ago. And there was a boy that was stabbed 3 times. And it was concerned that Andy even took on the case because he was close to it, because it was the same school his son went to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happens.
Okay. And now we're jumping 12 months earlier. And it's a couple days after the murder. They wake up, or they're at the wake of Ben. Was his name Ben, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy leaves and go finds his coat. But there he finds Dad. And they're just, he's just crying. And they have a heart to heart. And Dad's like, I'll feel better once you catch the guy. And Andy's like, yes, I will too.
Yeah, that happens.
Okay. So they're bringing Jacob to school, him and Lori, his wife. And all the parents are very anxious to send their kids off, and moms are all chatting about how awful what happened to Ben is. And Andy decides to go check on security since he's DA. He's used to the, knows the cops and everything. And there's this girl who's pissed off because her sweatshirt, can't come into school because it says F-U-C-K on it. But she's like, that's the clothing brand. It's not a bad word. And Andy's like, oh my gosh, just put it in your locker and you'll be fine. So he went over the police's head.
That part doesn't happen.
No, it does not.
Also, kind of a big difference. Actually, there's two differences here. When we flash back to before the murder, it's before the murder, not after the murder.
Yeah.
It like it's the day of when everyone finds out about the murder.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out that Lori still works. She is unemployed in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And also they start talking about this Mexico trip that they have planned for Christmas.
Yes.
When it's really supposed to be this like, oh, we've all just went through hell.
Yes.
Maybe we should go on a trip.
That's right. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So then we have details about the case and how they have no leads. It's now been 5 days. The closest they've gotten is this pedophile, but even he doesn't really match. And Andy was called to his boss's office and said he might be too close to the case because, as we said, it's the same school his son goes to. He refuses to get off the case, though. And she's like, fine, but you need to go interview students because it might be one of them. And so he goes to school and they start interviewing.
Yep. That happens.
Mm-hmm. The cops are questioning all these kids and they slowly begin to realize the kids are not telling them jack on purpose. And finally, he questions Sarah, who's the girl with the sweatshirt. And his partner's getting frustrated because she's also purposely not telling them things. She then asks Andy, is anyone interviewing Jacob? And he's like, yes. And she got kind of awkward, didn't say anything. And she asked about the anonymous tip line.
Andy gave her his email address and phone number, and later that night, she sent him a message for the Friends of Ben Facebook page, and he couldn't really figure out what was needed or why she sent it, but then there was an altercation between Jacob and some other kids, and he went to Jacob's page and saw that his best friend called him out and said he knows he did it because he has a knife. And the next day, when Jacob went to school, and I think when his wife took Jacob to school, Andy snooped in Jacob's room and found the knife. And it looked like it would have matched the...
I so badly wish he tested it. So
badly. I know.
That's what kills me. I'm like,
You can't do anything today. I'm just falling and dying over here. Oh my gosh.
Long day.
Allie's trying to die at my apartment.
Oh my gosh. I've fallen off a chair twice. I broke another chair. I almost fallen over three times standing up. Oh gosh.
My biggest like right now, all I can think of is if he was a good lawyer, I feel like he would have still at least went and interviewed his kid unless he thought his kid for sure did it.
Well, I think, no, he said someone else is interviewing his kid because he couldn't interview his kid. But what he should have done was...
test the freaking knife.
Yes, because we find out...
tossing it.
He tosses it, yes.
Yeah, that... Oh, I remember watching it the first time. Once he did that, I was like, oh, shit. The kid for sure did it. Right? Then. Like, what? A difference here is Andy finds the knife in Jacob's room in the middle of the night when Jacob's asleep, which I'm like, I mean, I sleep hard as a rock, but goddamn, he's like shuffling through the closet, opening the closet door.
There's no way.
I was like, I doubt that kid's still asleep.
Right? So now we're 12 months later, back to the
trial.
Gosh. And he's being accused of not turning in the knife. He said he didn't turn it in because he didn't think it was the murder weapon. Why would you turn in a random knife that's not the murder weapon? And
LeJudas
said, no, you did it because you're waiting for this for the last 14 years. And then we get stories about how his great-grandfather, his grandfather, his father were all murderers.
Ooh, man, what? Yes, this happens. And in the show, freaking at one point, Andy and Laurie are in the bed all cuddling. She's like, oh, don't you wish you knew your father? And I know, like, obviously watching it the first time, I was like, oh, that's sad. He doesn't have a dad. But like, now I know that his dad's a murderer, and I know how he feels about it from the book. So now I know it was like to build up this like, ooh, where's his dad?
Yeah.
But it kind of got on my nerves this time. Oh. I was like, don't hold my damn hand.
Right. And in the show.
Push me.
Right. In the show, did they say his great-grandfather and grandfather?
Just his dad.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, they told us like three different stories of all these murders that these people did.
Mm-hmm. But also what gets me is like, because then the murder gene comes up, right? And the murder gene is something that I have heard of listening to my true crime stuff too, right? So it's something you kind of think of. But if you think, okay, well, Andy's got it, but he's a freaking lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, it doesn't mean you have to be a murderer.
Like, right.
That's what gets me every time it gets brought up.
I agree. It's just a cop out to not get a...
100%. Not get legit proof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Legit, like, sentencing, which is what they were trying to do here.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get there. So now we go back 12 months. And Laurie and Andy confronted Jacob about the knife. Andy basically cross-examined him like a lawyer, which pissed Laurie off because she said, no, we're family. We talk. And he went to work for a little and watched the interview of the pedophile guy. And they were getting nothing from him. And his lawyer was coming soon. But
Andy said to keep pushing him until he'd get something. But the lawyer came and they had to stop.
Oh, okay. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
In the book, isn't Duff supposed to be a dude?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so Duffy in the show is a girl.
Uh-huh.
And then she's also the one who's like, hey, I think we need to look into Leonard Patz. When in the book, it's Andy who's like, oh, it's this guy. I know this guy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Which makes more sense. Anyways, when that's his whole reasoning for, we got to keep going after this guy.
Yeah. Because like he worked the case before. Right. So he knows the guy.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
But
it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we're 12 months later in the courtroom and he's getting
anymore? I do because the Facebook post.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because Lori finds out about it in the TV show, same time as the knife. And she was like, oh, no, should we report the Facebook post?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
She'd be a mama trying not to get her kid in trouble. So now we're 12 months later, back to the courtroom. He's getting interrogated and asking why he kept questioning this Lenny Patz pedophile. And he's like, sometimes you have to do things as a cop and a DA before you have all the information, because they were like, you had no proof that it was him. He's like, well, I don't have proof that it was anybody. Like, he made very good points.
It's true. It's true. Plus, like, one thing too is I feel like a lot of times cops, it's gonna sound so bad, but a lot of times they get gut feelings, and more often than not, it's correct.
Right.
And yes, it's hard without evidence, but if you go and you search, sometimes you find evidence.
Right.
It makes sense.
Yep. So 12 months earlier, Lori asked him when he got home what he did with the knife. And he said he threw it away in the dumpster somewhere because he didn't want that filth in his house.
Yeah.
And 12 months later, Andy was accused of throwing out the knife because he was covering up for his son. And he's like, no, I wasn't.
Until the very end, Andy was like, nope, my kid did not do it. Yeah. And I'm like, sir.
Yes, seriously. Also, just know I keep the 12 months when in reality the year goes on and it's probably more like 3 months prior.
Mm-hmm.
But just to be less confusing, it's 12 months, 12 months.
Smart.
All right, so now there's a town search going on looking for this murder weapon. And he saw the dad of Ben in the field and he went over to meet him. And Ben's dad is yelling at him, saying he wants a new DA and he's off the case. He called his office and they asked him to come down. And he did and found out that Jacob had fingerprints on Ben's jacket. And he was told to go home and his house was being searched and Jacob was under arrest. He went home and... but him and Lori couldn't find Jacob. And eventually the cops did. And Jacob was hiding in the woods. He was brought in, had to stay the night, and would be up for bail the next morning. And he was honest with Lori and finally told her about his family history. And she was disappointed that he never told her before.
Andy does not tell Lori about his family history until it's like basically getting brought up in the trial. Mm-hmm. In the show. But then the rest of this happens.
Okay. So they went to
The other thing too is at this part Jacob's talking in the car when he's getting brought in, but of course I guess this is written from Andy's point of view, so I guess we wouldn't know if he really did, but he's telling the cop that he rolled the Ben over.
Oh, that's right, they did that part. Oh no, because they ended up doing how with the lawyer interrogating still, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So they went to the court hearing and there was this big kerfuffle between the lawyers and between lawyer. Jacob's lawyer, who is Jonathan in the book.
Oh, but then Joanna
in the show. Yep. And LaJudas. And the judge called for a recess and they were able to take Jacob home on bail. When they get home, the murderer, we hope you die, is written on their house. Jacob didn't think much of it. And he's like, man, I've been told worse at school. And Lori was furious and went out and cleaned it up.
That happens. But also in the show tries to feed you other potential suspects. And so up until this point, one of Jacob's friends, Derek, has just been a complete dick to him and has bullied him way more than was ever said in the book.
Yeah.
And then you end up starting to follow Leonard Patz, which is the guy that Duffy was like, oh, we should go interview him. Or in the book, it's the one that Andy's been on top of. And you see that he actually has pictures of Ben on his phone.
Yeah. So definitely has other people that are like, which I didn't really feel like there was anyone else in the book.
No. Because everything with Pat's dead ended.
Yeah. No, it was Jacob.
Yeah. I feel like the show wanted you to believe that it potentially couldn't be Jacob. I mean, when I watched it the first time, I was like, it's got to be Jacob.
Right.
Like, this is insane if it's not.
Yeah.
Even with Pat's. But it did bring some doubt. And I was like, oh, maybe. But.
Yep. So they're in a meeting with their lawyer, Jonathan, and he let Jacob know that this is Jacob's case. So you're the boss. And since the law treats him as an adult because it's a murder case, so will he. Lori brought up the murder gene, which shocked everyone. It pissed Jacob off because his dad never told him. Their lawyer said that they would fight that in court if brought up because that is ridiculous and it should not be even mentioned. Andy still believes Pat's is who's the pedophile is the number one suspect.
That happens just once Lori's made aware of the murder or the murder gene, I should say. The murder.
Andy and lawyer met with a psychiatrist.
Andy and Lori?
What did I say?
Andy and lawyer?
Oh my gosh. You guys, I'm already yawning. I'm like, I'm trying, you guys. It's been a long day. Andy and Lori met with a psychiatrist to talk about Jacob to help his case. Lori tells her everything from him being little and bullying at daycare to him stealing from her purse when he was a little older. Andy's pissed. She's like, you're painting Jacob in a bad way. And the psychiatrist said, hey, I'm on your side. This is just information. It'll be helpful for the case. Andy finally and reluctantly answered some of her questions.
One of my biggest like irritators with this book and show is that I wish Andy and Lori like had half of their like he's innocent and half of the he's guilty, because they're both so far on the opposite side of each other that I'm like, if you could both just like think how the other one's thinking for a second,
yeah,
it would be great. You guys would understand everything and actually be able to look at this with clearer eyes. And I get why they don't, but
I think it's crazy because I think
the mom would be.
Mom is thinking of not only mom of her babies, but mom of other babies. So she's like, if my kid really is a murderer, think of all the other moms that are about to be heartbroken. Versus dad is just, I'm a lawyer and there's no way this is my son. There's no way this is happening in my house. And so it is. It's very complicated. Yes. So they went down to dinner one night and Lori got the phone and she asked how they got this number and they hung up. And she acted really strange and excused herself. And it was just, she's not doing well with this whole thing.
Yes. In the TV show at this point, Lori has now lost her job over this case, which then kind of the thing too is like, which I think is fucking insane. I feel like the show had to amp up, or wanted, I should say, to amp up everything that happens with Lori so that the ending makes more sense.
I think they shouldn't have done it.
Oh, I agree.
Because
I agree.
Well, reading it, I was like, what? Like, it was out of left field. Like, my mouth dropped. But yet it was believable
sense.
Yeah. It wasn't so far out in left field that I was like, where did that come from?
Cause this, like, it's funny cause I'm also not trying to spoil what happens, but this essentially, like, it makes her create hostile feelings uh-huh. towards everything. Whereas I feel like in the book, it's more so her just being like, how do I fix this wrong?
Yeah, I agree.
And so that's frustrating. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So okay. She lost her job.
Yep.
Oh, and then Lori also pulls out her laptop and starts Googling all about Andy's dad.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Oh, yeah. And then Andy hardcore is like finding other witnesses to say that Pats is 100% the dude. Mm-hmm.
So Jacob and Jonathan are talking and he's like, okay, tell me what happened with the knife. And Jonathan's slightly cross-examining him, but like very minorly. And Jacob's getting very defensive and he can't keep his story straight. And finally, Lori asked Jonathan to stop. And Jonathan's like, okay, Jacob's not taking the stand, which frustrated him because he really wants to defend himself. And he's like, no, he will go up there and lose mm-hmm. immediately. Mm-hmm. And Andy wants to keep pursuing Pats. So I have a question. I don't know if you know this, yeah. but so Jonathan's like, you're not taking the stand. Mm-hmm. Can LeJudas call him or he can't no. because he's not his witness?
So each side uh-huh. comes up with a list of people that can get called to the stand. Uh-huh. And then from there, that's who can go to the stand. And because the LeJudas is fighting them, he can't be like, oh, I get to pull you up because it's supposed to be people who are helping your case.
So he wouldn't do mm-hmm. that unless he knew.
uh-huh. But everyone that's on their list then can get cross-examined. So you want to yeah. make sure that you have good people on your side so right. that they do good during cross-examination.
Got it. Okay.
Because literally that's when you fuck up.
Right.
Because you don't know what kind of questions they're going to ask.
I know. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Andy was talking.
Can I just say, yes. it made me so mad when Lori is like, you got to stop this yeah. cross-exam. I'm like, he's doing it because this is how they would do it in court. Right. He's trying to see if this kid can handle it. Right. And he can't.
It's her mama heart being like, oh my gosh. It was just proving to her that he did it. Mm-hmm. And she just mm-hmm. did not want to hear mm-hmm. it. Yep. Andy talked with Sarah about Jacob and Ben. And Jacob was kind of a nobody at school, but not in a bad way. And Ben was kind of a bully and he did not like Jacob. She suggested going to talk to Derek because he knows more. So Andy went to Derek's house and his parents said the DA told them not to talk to you and shut the door on his face.
Yeah, that happens. And Sarah becomes a very like crucial part of yes. the TV show.
That's about the last we hear of her in the book.
Yeah.
And then she's like,
whereas in the show, she's like Jacob's best friend and they're always hanging out and yeah. she's given the family free ice cream.
Yeah, right. So Andy went and talked with Matt, who was a victim of Leonard Pats, which is why he got arrested in the first place. And he told him that Lenny paid him $100 to touch him over the clothes. He did this 5 times, easy money. And one time he tried to go in his pants, but he stopped him. Finally, he reported him that he touched him because Lenny wasn't going to pay him anymore. Rude. And he said that he does have a knife and he carried it around regularly. He also was going to pursue this new kid he saw at the park every morning named Ben. And he never turned this information in because Matt also was on parole and doesn't want to get involved.
Yep, this happens.
Jacob started a new Facebook page. He posted a picture of himself as the guy from Psycho and captioned, "What people think of me." Andy went off on him.
And I think it was from American Psycho.
Oh, is that different?
Yeah, absolutely. It is.
Okay. Okay. Wasn't that it? Is that not American Psycho?
No, that's not. American Psycho is Christian Bale with a axe.
Oh.
But now I'm trying to remember if the book was Psycho, because I think it was.
I think the book was Psycho.
Yeah, and the movie was Christian Bale, American Psycho.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, that's rather confusing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Especially because I feel like American Psycho is a bit creepier than Guy from Psycho.
I mean, I haven't seen either of them, so I can tell you.
You've never seen Psycho?
I've never seen. I just know that.
Oh, we gotta watch Psycho this Halloween.
Okay, sounds good.
100%. I'm okay watching the original too, but the remake has Vince Vaughn as Norman Bates.
Yes. Okay, do it. So their psychiatrist told Andy that this was going to be a hard one for him this session today, because they needed his DNA in case they need to go into the murder gene route. If Jacob is losing the case, they can use this as a way of getting off on first degree murder. He finally agrees to it after a fight. She also said, well, we also need your father's DNA. He's alive and here's where he is, but he'll only comply if you, Andy, go get the sample.
You made it sound like they want him to get first degree murder, but they want
no,
him
they're
to
trying get off to get off of first it, degree yeah, murder. Yeah. Yes, sorry.
Yeah. I was like, hold on. Yeah. That happens. Oh, that does happen. But his dad, this part drove me crazy too, because then he goes to the jail. I was going to say police station. He goes to the jail to get his dad's DNA. And then they get into a fight and he doesn't get the DNA.
I know.
I was like, why
did
his
dad just sends it? Anyways.
Mm-hmm. Because Lori went and talked to him. But it's like, okay.
Right. Andy went and talked to Derek. At first, Derek didn't want to talk to Andy, but then he scared him, but also reassured him at the same time. Derek told him what he told the DA, that Jacob brought.
What? I just realized I have a note about the therapy session when Lori talks about Jacob being a psycho kid. She did that alone in the TV show.
Yes, she did. Which didn't, so then it couldn't piss Andy off.
Yeah.
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 Which I, again, get both of their ideas. Like, Lori's like, I just got to tell everything. Mm-hmm. Then I don't have a guilty conscience. But Andy's like, why? Like, I mean, because it's a fair thought. Like, a kid that age bullying at daycare is like,
you know what you just made me realize?
What?
Oh, I think Andy's way more complex than we've been thinking.
Why?
Because he's a DA. Uh-huh. So he knows. He knows his kid is guilty.
Oh, yeah. I 100% think he knows.
Oh, I had
you
not
didn't
been.
Think so?
No, this whole time.
Oh, no.
The true crime lover has been like, this dude's so fucking blind.
No, I think he knew. And he's trying to convince himself that it's not true. Yeah.
Okay,
that's why he didn't turn in the knife, because he knew it would come back positive. Mm-hmm.
Well, I knew that much.
Okay.
Well, actually, no, I didn't know. I knew he got rid of it because he was like, this is potentially the murder weapon.
Oh, yeah. And then, so no, I think he. I think he knew. And that's why he's freaking out every time Lori's like, well, you
being
know,
honest, because he's like,
shut up.
They can get this.
He's giving them information. Yeah. So. Derek told him what he told the DA, and Jacob brought the knife because he was being bullied at school. And he went into stories about he'll just laugh at people with crutches. He's just mean. And he said a story about how he had a dog on a rope. And the next thing Derek saw him and the dog's gone. He's like, I buried the dog, but he never said it died. So he just buried the dog alive. Okay. Psycho right there. Mm-hmm. He would just say mean comments all the time. He was also obsessed with the Cutter, which is this dark web, almost like porn site, but for murder. People would describe gruesome murders and you can read and comment on them. Derek said he's been doing it on his iPod Touch so he doesn't get caught. Andy went home to check, and sure enough, there was a story written anonymously by someone that was almost identical to Ben's murder. And from the feeling, or all the way from how it felt to stab the guy dead. And he took the iPod downstairs and destroyed it.
In the TV show, Derek reads that murder story that's found on Cutter to the whole entire jury, trial, lawyers, everyone. And that was Lori's turning point, where she was like, 100% you did it.
Yep. Which.
Mm-hmm. He did it.
Mm-hmm. The three of them went to the store one night and they ran into Ben's parents. They had Jacob go to the car and told Andy said, Laura, you too. But she went over to Ben's mom and then Ben's mom spit in her face and called them murderers and they left the store.
Lori runs into Ben's mom solo in the TV show. And again, it's just to build up more of her animosity towards everything.
Yes.
Andy became obsessed and he was following Lenny Pats everywhere. He wanted to find some type of evidence that showed it was him and not Jacob. Eventually, he confronted him and they kind of rammed into his car a little. And Lenny said the DA told him not to talk to him.
Mm-hmm. That happens. Remind me, in the book, does Lori accidentally give a interview? You know how in the show she goes to the diner and makes a friend?
Oh, no.
She okay, doesn't do that. I didn't think so. Mm-hmm. So I will now say, at this point in the TV show, Lori has felt very isolated because, I mean, who wouldn't? You're in a town where everyone's going to side with the victim's family. And so she only has her husband and her child who are both like, Jacob didn't do it. Whereas she's like, but didn't he? And so she drives, I would say probably on like the outskirts of town to go get a meal and be away from everything. And then this lady's just being nice to her. And Lori, like, Lori eats it up because she's been lonely. And so she starts talking to this chick. And then it turns out that this chick is a reporter. And she said some shit about her kid that's bad. And about her husband that's bad.
But the thing is, like, when she found out, she, like, got up to leave. And then the lawyer's like, do you want anything you said off the record? Mm-hmm. She should have just said all of it. Right there.
Well, didn't she said something to that effect of like, well, I didn't even realize it was all on the record. Like,
yeah.
It should but, just be off.
But yeah, she didn't she flat really out say
yeah.
none of it. If she said yeah. that, I don't think they would have been able to post it then, would
yeah.
they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then we're 12 months later and he's going off on LaJudas saying, why don't you want the jury to hear about Patsy?
And see,
I had it Patsy in here. I had to change every single one. Pats. And LaJudas is like, because he's not the suspect. And Andy is working really hard to try and get him to share information about him. But Andy's like, no, we're not here to talk. Or LaJudas is like, we're not talking about him right now. And then they're going over the psychiatrist papers. And LaJudas had him read several points. One being that the best way the psychiatrist could describe Jacob is like the Grinch with his heart two sizes too small. Yikes.
Could you imagine hearing that about your kid?
Right? From a freaking psychiatrist? I'd be like,
oh, like, fuck. Admit him to a hospital.
I would. I'd be like, nope. Get out of here, Tyler. Go away.
Adios, amigo.
Love you. Bye. 12 months earlier, back to story. Andy went to his father and it was a complete jerk the whole time, or the dad was. And in the end, he did the swab for him.
Lori is the one who got him to do a swab in the show.
Lori and Andy were awake late into the night because they heard a cat being killed. And it was like long and drawn out. The next morning, it was a court case and news crews were at their house to what? Get them to the courthouse. Yeah. You didn't pick up on that? And then they just never brought it up again. I was like, well, are they going to say that was Jacob?
Oh, I did not catch that.
Yeah, well, it didn't.
I'm really glad I didn't.
It was like it was describing like this really horrible noise. And then like they described it as almost sounding like a cat that was being murdered. And like, but it just kept going for 15, 20 minutes. And it just wouldn't stop. And eventually it stopped. But then it's never brought up again in the whole rest of the story. I was like, why would you tell me this? Why do I need to know that someone's murdering animals outside? Because it's Jacob. Jacob's doing it.
That's exactly why. I'm glad I missed this.
Yeah. Did not happen in the show.
Thank God. would have fucking hated Jacob.
I mean, you should still.
There was a part of me when I watched it where I was like, there's a chance he probably didn't do this, but it's more fun to think he did.
There's no chance in the book. Reading
it, yeah, I'm like, oh, you guilty as fuck, dude.
Oh my gosh. All right.
So I just thought it was the kid from It playing it in such a weird way. I was like, wow, you're just not empathetic at all. You need to be a bit more.
Nope, that's how he is. Uh-huh. Jonathan asked the judge to rule out genetics as evidence. LeJudas asked that note be... I'm reading sideways.
Not be done.
Thank you. We want to put genetics in there. And they're like, no, we'll talk about that privately. Jonathan also stated that the family wished Andy to sit on the stand with him. And the jury was chosen.
Mm-hmm. That happens.
So that...
Oh, yeah. Actually, I guess before the trial, we should say that... Jacob's birthday happens randomly in the show.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, why?
Because life still happens, I guess.
Yeah. Why is this an important figure here?
That night, the family made note of a car idling outside. Andy saw someone smoking in it, and later he went out to investigate it further, but it was just a parked car. There was no one in it. He called it in to his friend to have him run the plates, and it turns out it might be a stolen car, and because the plates go to a different car, because this is like a Lincoln and they go to some other car. Andy didn't want to report it though, because he wants to seem like a normal family, because the court starts the next day.
This happens, and also this car ends up following Lori on a run. Mm-hmm. And freaking her out in the show.
Freaked me out too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The court case began, and LeJudas spoke to the witness who found the body. He over asked her questions, like trying to get every single detail. And Jonathan just asked one question, since she had nothing incriminating against Jacob. And they talked to the lead police officer, which was Duffy, I believe, mm-hmm. on the case. And LeJudas went after Andy, which Jonathan tried to cancel. LeJudas turned it on Andy, like saying, well, was he on the case? But the judge let him have it, and he, as long as he didn't go off the rails. He tried questioning his choices about pursuing Lenny Patz. When it was Jonathan's turn, he asked the police officer about what type of DA Andy was, and the police officer said, the best.
Yeah, that happens. But I also realize I should say a note, and then I only have one more note after that, which is the big one. After the story gets read in the courtroom, the one from Cutter about mm-hmm. the murder in the car, Andy asks Jacob if he did it. And this was a big moment, because never in a million years would have book Andy mm-hmm. asked that. I was like, what, sir? Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Yep. Okay. So they spoke to the doctor and the test results for Jacob, and she let them know she is concerned. He almost has no empathy. This is not during the case anymore. This is like personal. He has no empathy. He didn't really show any when talking about Ben. They also have the knockout gene, and so does Andy, and so does his dad. And Jacob has the emotional maturity of a 7-year-old.
Oh, I actually do have a note, because Jacob does not have the murder gene in the show.
What?
Yeah, I was like,
they're really trying to make it seem like it's not him. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, he has it, people. Mm-hmm. He has it. LeJudas had this witness that started asking questions and got super bad anxiety, ended up being pointless and actually helping Jacob out. Then he questioned this man who was in the park with his dog, and he heard someone yelling, stop, you're hurting me. As of right now, though, Jacob's looking really good. He's doing pretty good. But Andy says that's the last good day they're going to have.
Yeah, that happens, except for Andy doesn't say that.
Yeah. They're speaking with the head cop, and things are still looking good, but different things were starting to come up that weren't looking great for Jacob. And all of a sudden, Legitus threw out his grandfather being a murderer. There's this uproar between the judges and Jonathan and Andy. And Case was called for the day and they spoke about what they're going to do here. And that's either a mistrial or Jacob gets two more witnesses. And later that night, the Lincoln Town Car was at their house again.
That happens, except for I forgot, because in the TV show, when they're still trying to get evidence for against Jacob, they get a hold of Ben's cell phone. And so him and Joanna are at the cop station to go through it. And LeJudas is there. And LeJudas makes a comment about Andy's dad. And then Andy gets pissed.
That's right. And then he's like, have you ever pushed anyone, Andy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like me?
Yeah. Like, shut up. Like, when I talked about your murderer of a father.
Yeah, right.
Oh my gosh. After the judge told him not to do that.
Right. So stupid. So 12 months later, we're at the trial with Andy, and we find out that Lori threw away a decoy knife into the river. Did you miss this part?
I missed that Lori threw it.
Yeah. So Andy threw away the real knife that he doesn't believe is the real knife. And Lori took one of their kitchen knives and threw it into the river, hoping that they would get
Jacob in trouble.
I don't think so. I think it was hoping that the search crew would find a knife.
Oh,
but like, it's not going to match. So I don't really know.
It's not going to match. And it's going to have your fingerprints,
right?
And his fingerprints on it
missing from your house.
Yeah.
Like, what was the point?
The only thing I can think of is if she was trying to get him in trouble,
like, maybe
get a murder weapon that tied him to it.
Crazy. I didn't think of that.
Fucking hell, Lori.
That's crazy. Okay. 12 months earlier, back to the story. Andy's dad called the house. He basically was just giving him crap, letting him know that they're watching the case in prison.
What's hilarious is I remember hearing the decoy knife part, or I didn't realize it was a decoy knife. I just was like, wow, these cops really found a knife, and we're like, oh, it's it. And then right. I'm like, no, it's not.
Yeah, right. No, I was like, that was it.
Cool. So I get to hear about his false hope. I don't know.
So, case details showing the knife wound. LeJudas made it seem like this was, in fact, the kind of knife that Jacob had. And Jonathan made note that it could have been hundreds of different knives, and the DA didn't do more research, so this is not relevant.
Yes, that happens.
The Lincoln Town Car is outside again. Andy went out with a baseball bat this time, but was stopped by police officer that had been on this case, Duffy. And he told the man in the town car he needs to leave. And he talked with Andy after about the case.
Yeah, that happens.
So now we have Derek's testimony. After he had finished with the Judas, everyone, even Andy, kind of imagined there's no way out of this. Jonathan tried really hard, though, and chipped away at all the evidence. Andy was not doing well because it was a bad day and was kind of rubbing off on the family. And now they're at home and they're all talking. And Jacob's like, would you tell me if I need to run off to Argentina? And they kind of had a little family joke about it, like laughing and imagining life in Argentina. And Andy and Lori went to bed, and Lori was really worried that he was guilty. And they heard sirens in the distance without realizing that was when everything changed.
Yeah, this part didn't. I mean, the Derek's testimony is what nailed his coffin in the show, but the rest of that did not happen.
Yeah, which I'm bummed about. It was kind of a cute little scene with them joking about Argentina and everything. Andy woke up by a phone call, and it turns out it was Pat's, and he had hung himself and did a full confessional note. This was because they were going to call him to the stand, and he didn't want to go to the stand. So then they went to the court office, and Jacob was deemed clear. After they were leaving, here comes Ben's dad, along with this Irishman that kept sitting in front of their house. And Ben's dad pulled a knife and almost stabbed Andy, except the Irishman stopped him. Father O'Leary stopped him. And Ben's dad went away, and turns out Father O'Leary was watching him because he was Andy's father, asked him to. It's like his bodyguard.
I know that Andy doesn't like his dad, but I actually thought it was really sweet that he like sent a dude to.
I thought it was so cute.
Look out for him.
I know.
Yeah, I was like, your dad's a piece of shit, but he's not.
Right. He hadn't seen you since he was. You were five, but he's still going to
protect
kid.
You. Yeah. And Ben's dad did not almost stab Andy in the show. He did go to attack him, but
mm-hmm. yeah.
But also, why would he be actually? No, that's false. Because in the show, he was going after Jacob.
Yeah, he's going
because
after
it makes way more sense for him to be going after Jacob.
Yeah, I thought that was weird. Mm-hmm. So now we have life after the case. They still live an isolated life, but they're free. And Andy doesn't know what he's going to do for work now because he, being on the other side, doesn't think he could be a DA anymore. Jacob's still being homeschooled because he cannot go to school because no one likes him.
Yes, that happens.
Andy went to see his dad and he confronted him about hiring Father O'Leary to kill Pats. His dad, of course, denied everything, but you could read between the lines and you know that's what happened.
That happens a little bit later. Uh-huh. Like, Andy literally is like, yeah, Pats killed himself. No problem. Mm-hmm. And then later someone
it was on vacation.
Yeah, he's on vacation. No, it was before vacation.
Oh, okay.
It was before vacation. Someone came to him and was like, oh, you'll be happy to know that the case is finally all wrapped up. And he was like, what? Jacob got off free a while ago. What are you talking about? And they're like, oh, there was just some.
Oh, yeah.
Miss somethings that just weren't adding up in.
Pats.
Yeah. And he was like, what the fuck? And then he put it together. Mm-hmm.
12 months later on the trial, LeJudas is confronting Andy about the whole scheme of Pat's and Andy denied it all.
Yep, that happens. And at this point in the TV show, I was like, OK, what the fuck? Why are you still on trial then?
I thought that, too. I thought the exact same thing right here. I was like, why is there still a trial going on? Yep. Did they re-find information?
Yeah, that's kind of.
And Jacob's on trial again. Like that's
what I figured. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So back to 12 months and the barbers decided that they wanted to go on a vacation. They went down to Jamaica and they were having lots of fun. Jacob even met a girl. Her name was Hope and everyone really liked her and everyone was happy.
The trip's Mexico and this is their trip that they had planned all along. And Christmas comes and they're like, oh, shoot, we have that. But should we cancel it? They're like, no, we should go.
Yes. 12 months later, LeJudas says, then what happened? And Andy says, the girl went missing. You guys, okay. This book has been great, but the last 20 minutes, like my mouth just dropped like four times. There was the first one. No, the first one was when Pat died. I was like, what? Then there's this one. No, then it was Irishman murdering Pat. Then it's this one. And then it just gets more and more. Okay. Back to the story. Hope's mom called them to see if she was hanging out with Jacob. She can't find her. And earlier that day, Jacob had come to sit with his parents and he said he had what was ketchup splattered on his pants. But then we find out the girl turned up 7 weeks later, appeared to have been drowned, and her throat was also crushed. After 2 week vacation, the barbers went home and Lori was very quiet.
The fucking girl doesn't die.
No, I was like, what? Mm-hmm. Are we serious right now?
Mm-hmm. I kept waiting for her to come back fine. And then it was drowned and I was like, what the shit? But again, it's because the TV show wants to point the finger at Jacob, but not.
Right.
I'm like, well, why?
Right.
Why?
My gosh. No. So she dead.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And Lori is still very quiet, though.
Yes. And now it's 12 months later, our final scene. We find out this whole case Andy has been talking about is for Lori. Because one night after they get back, a police officer came and told Andy that Lori had crashed and Jacob died. And it turns out Lori purposely killed her son and tried to kill herself too, but was unsuccessful with that part.
And in the show, Jacob is fucking alive.
I know. How freaking freaking awkward is that?
I know. And then the scene with Lori, like, when he wakes up, he's gonna know. I'm like,
yeah, no shit.
Did you not think about that before?
He was like, Mom, slow down, slow down, slow down. And you just veer off and crash into a wall. Gosh. But those are big changes.
Very big changes.
Holy cow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, that was it. That's how it ended.
I immediately texted Alan. I was like, what the fuck? And I didn't know that he had read it. Uh-huh. I thought he had just watched it. And he was like, yeah, I know. I was pissed. And I was like, oh, you were. And at this point, I had forgotten that the girl didn't die in Mexico.
Yeah.
And so he was like, yeah, I was pissed about the Mexico trip and the ending. And I was like, Mexico trip wasn't that different.
It was very different.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Well, it is a TV show, so we got lots. We got 151 people.
That actually surprises me.
That there were that many or there were?
Yeah, that there were that many.
I know, because I really focused on just a
main like few. Five. Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess because it's a trial, so there's a jury. Oh. That makes way more sense.
Yep. 12 right there. Yeah. Yep. All right. So we have Chris Evans. Andy.
He did beautiful. Good. I was just going to say, yeah.
He did really good, like, you know, because he's... It was interesting seeing Captain America defending a...
Bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he did very good.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle Dockery played Lori.
She did really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I really like her and Chris together. Like, they have really good chemistry together.
I think so, too. I think so. Jaden Martell played Jacob.
He did amazing.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
He was very, like you said, very awkward and not empathetic, but reading it, that's what he was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then Cherry Jones played Joanna, which is Jonathan in the book.
Yeah, she did good.
Yeah, I liked her a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then Pablo...
Schreiber?
Sure. Schreiber played the Judas. He was a sleepball.
Yeah, he was fine.
Yeah. Betty Gabriel played Pam Duffy.
She did good.
She was fine. I liked her a lot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know.
Leonard Patz, maybe?
Yeah, I guess, actually.
Derek,
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Daniel Henschel played Lenny Patz.
He was a good creep.
He was a creep, but one you felt bad for.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is weird because I don't feel bad for pedophiles. They do what they do.
Yeah.
But he almost wasn't.
I was going to say in the TV show, he kind of seemed like he was trying to actually be a better person.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I feel bad feeling bad for pedophiles.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. But he did good. There we go. And then we got Ben Taylor played Derek.
He did good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
So we got J.K. Simmons as Billy Barber.
I love anything that man does. Oh
my gosh, he's so good.
He's such a great actor.
Yes. We'll do William Zafaris played Father O'Leary.
Yeah, he did good.
Yeah, I liked him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Is the theme of the book and the movie the same?
Yes. Yep.
Do the characters stay true?
Yes, except for that one scene when Andy asks if Jacob did it.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Which you prefer?
I prefer the book.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because when I watched the show, I'm pretty positive I told Alan, because Alan told me to watch it. He was like, you would love this. Watch it. So I watched it. And then the next dinner I went to with him, I told him, I was like, I really liked it, but I really think Jacob should have died.
Did you really?
Yeah. And he was like, oh, you should read the book.
And you didn't catch right there.
Oh my god. No, because man, when it came to this part in the book, I'm like texting Allie, like, damn, this book does pretty good. It's pretty spot on. There's not a whole lot different. Then, like, 2 minutes later, I texted her and went, holy fucking shit, what the hell just happened?
She's like, I'm shook right now. And I was so excited because she had read it before me. And I was like, oh my gosh, what is she shook about? And I thought it was the Mexico trip. I was like, I don't know, shook. Like, it's shocking, but would I describe it as shook? And then Jacob didn't die. And I was like, that's probably what it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I also prefer the book. I just think it was just such a cool, fun read, especially with the flipping, which the show, I'm glad that it did well when you didn't know. But I just like some of the details more in the book than in the show. But it was fun to see some details hashed out as well, though.
Yeah, for sure. Agreed.
Would you recommend it?
I absolutely would.
Agreed. Yes, I've already to my mom. I was like, Mom, you gotta watch the show. Sneak peek.
We've got our website. Check it out. offscript253.wixsite.com/offscript.
We should make a TikTok of us just like doing that to a dance. Oh,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, no, it's not, but we should try it.
Oh my gosh. Allie's like, damn it, why did I joke about that? I know, right? Bree's gonna make me do it.
Like a robot. Ah, script.
253. Walk site. My robot self screwed it up.
And there you can rate, subscribe, and review.
We would love it if you did.
Yes, we'll read your positive reviews on the podcast.
And our negative reviews to ourselves.
Yes.
To cry.
Yes.
Actually, we haven't had a negative one yet.
Don't say that. Now we will, just to get one.
I'm knocking on wood.
Yes. Wednesday, I don't know if we're going to have a mini-sode.
We actually have a few backlogged that I have to edit.
Oh, okay.
So there is a chance that there might be.
All right.
It depends on what I get done before I leave for Coachella.
Sounds good. And Monday we have Dune.
Ooh, another good one.
Okay.
Allie just hit herself in the microphone. I did.
Guys, I'm just having a night. I need to go to sleep.
And we've got one more to do.
Yep.
With that, Defending Jacob
went off script.
Bye.
Oh my gosh. Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shoutouts to Madame Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticism to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.